Praise the Lord.
Hallelujah.
The Lord is good. I said the Lord is good. If you believe that, can you say a warm amen?
Amen.
All right, let's take the declaration of the glory of the Lord this morning. 1 Samuel chapter 2. We're going to declare with Hannah from verse 2. 1 to let's go. There is no one holy like the Lord. Indeed, there's no one besides you. Nor is there any rock like our God. Boast no more so very proudly. Do not let arrogance come out of your mouth. For the Lord is a God of knowledge, and with him actions are weighed. The bows of the mighty are shattered, but the feeble gird on strength. Those who were full hired themselves out for bread, but those who were hungry cease to hunger. Even the barren gives birth to seven, but she who has many children languishes. The Lord kills and makes alive. He brings down to show and raises up. The Lord makes poor and rich. He brings low, he also exalts. He raises the poor from the dust. He lifts the needy from the ash heap to make them sit with nobles and inherit a seat of honor. For the pillars of the earth are the Lord's, and he set the world on them. He keeps the feet of his godly ones, but the wicked ones are silenced in darkness. For not by might shall a man prevail. Those who contend with the Lord will be shattered. Against them he will thunder in the heavens. The Lord will judge the ends of the earth, and he will give strength to his king, and will exalt the horn of his anointed. Hallelujah.
Amen.
Father God, thus we have exalted your name this morning, and the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. We have come before you again this morning with open hearts. Lord, come into our hearts and search every corner.
Amen.
Give us a word that is relevant to drive away every impurity from this heart.
Amen.
Because this heart must be pure.
Amen.
Thank you, Heavenly Father. In Jesus' name.
Amen.
Because we know you have prepared something great for us, we declare as follows.
That
the Lord has given me the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, and I'm being filled with the knowledge of his will, in all spiritual wisdom and understanding. As a result of this, I'm walking in a manner worthy of the Lord. I am pleasing him in all respects. I'm bearing fruit in every good work, and I'm increasing in the knowledge of God. Now again, I incline my ears to his word. The word is entering my heart. It is giving me light and direction. It is healing me in every area. And it's making me more and more like the Lord Jesus. In the name of Jesus Christ.
Amen.
All right, the Lord is good. Now let's take our seats. Good morning.
Well,
I've been talking about, we succeeded in talking about Nathaniel's spirit for a while. Then in between, we keep on going into other things. There are two portions of the scriptures I want us to read today. Let's read, first of all, Psalm 24, the book of Psalm number 24. It says, the earth is the Lord's. Now, where I want is 3 to 6, but let's just take a Bible reading, okay? Uh-huh. Like, David Paul needs to say something. He said, he likes to read the Bible at the beginning. You know why? He said, because at least, when you have read that, he's sure people have been blessed. So no matter what he says for the day, because he can end up saying nothing. But you can't read the word of God, and something will not flow. Do you get his own logic? So he likes to read the Bible at the beginning. Then he's free to not waste, that even if I take your time and waste it, at least you have been blessed with that Bible reading. So let's do that. So he said, the earth is the Lord's, and all it contains. The world and those who dwell in it. For he has founded it upon the seas and established it upon the waters. Now in the context of what we are teaching, verses 3 to 6 are very crucial. Whom he has sent into the hill of the Lord, and who may stand in his holy place. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Please notice that. He who has clean hands and a pure heart. Who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood and has not sworn deceitfully, He said, he shall receive a blessing from the Lord and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of those who seek him, who seek your face, even Jacob. Now let us read the rest. Lift up your heads, O gates, and be lifted up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is the King of glory? The Lord, strong and mighty, the Lord mighty in battle. Lift up your heads, O gates, and lift them up, O ancient doors, that the King of glory may come in. Who is this King of glory? The Lord of hosts. He is the King of glory. Amen.
Amen.
All right. Now, let me just go back and lay my emphasis on those four verses, or three verses, from verse 3. He said, who may ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who may stand in his holy place? Only those whose hands and hearts are pure, who do not worship idols, or who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, and never tell lies. Said they will receive the Lord's blessing and have a right relationship with God, their Savior. That's, I just added New Living Translation rendering there. Now again, Ephesians chapter 4. I said we are going to look at two portions. Ephesians chapter 4. I'm going to read from verse 17. But I'll read here and there till the end. But we won't read everything. It's quite some lengthy read. So I'll just jump some verses as I go on. All right? So Paul, please, I'd like to explain this. Before Paul got to this particular portion, he had given us the realities of the invisible. Yeah, I like that expression. The realities of what? The invisible. You know, those days in... Well, I read some books long ago, it's not now, so things may have changed. They said that most Nobel Prizes, apart from one, as I was reading this in the mid-80s, okay? So it's in the book, The Brief History of Time by Stephen Hawking. Don't bother reading it, you might not enjoy it. And it's old now, the things he said there, a lot of them have been overtaken by new discoveries. Let me not get carried away talking about that again. Don't, please follow the word of God, I say. What did I say? See, this is what they say. Science has proven. Can I just, please, remind me, I wanted to say something I read about theoretical physics. Is that okay? And Paul, please, in case I lose my way. No, this guy is not helpful. You have been more helpful in recent times. So let me talk to you. So where I'm living is, I wanted to talk about theoretical and practical. And I wanted to use theoretical physics as an illustration. So I now started talking about the fact that I read something in Stephen Hawking's book. It's as small as I'll try not to stay here for more than a few minutes. They keep on telling you, science proved this, science proved that. You understand? If you've been following science, you know that thing makes no sense. Because science will prove something today. In 10 years' time, they will disprove all the things they proved. Do you get my point?
Yes.
And then they will now say, you have to be scientific minded. You Christians, you are this, you are that. As if Christians don't think. Those who so-called do science are the ones that don't think. I'm sorry to say. See, I'm educated though. Some of you don't believe when I say some of these things, all right? Yeah. No, actually, I'm not kidding. Let me just tell you. I did West African School Leaving Certificate a long time ago. Many of you listeners were not born when I did WAEC. I did WAEC in 1984. I'm a senior guy. I even did HSC small. But I didn't do that. I just went 1 year, then ran to university. I went to university and I got a bachelor's of medicine, a bachelor's of surgery. I did postgraduate in anatomic pathology. So don't even think that this is where I didn't read the book. I'm a book reader. I'm a science book. On top of that, I have personal interest in physics. It was university I developed that. You know, astronomy, advanced physics. I'm always following, you know, who won the Nobel Prize, who did this, who did that, for what. I read all of this. I buy books on quantum physics. I read halfway, I get confused, I drop it, buy another one. You know that? If you get to the head of our bed now, there are two books on quantum physics there. They've been gathering dust for a long time. But at least it shows I wanted to learn. One guy even wrote a book, The God Equation. I bought it. If physics is so,
It's in my house. They got the equation. It's a book on physics. I bought it. Used my money. Ordered it from Amazon. Did I read it? I can't even remember. Still there. So where I'm going now, do you know, in all of it, I can tell you this. There is no consistency. Beyond the basics, like the rate of change of momentum is directly proportional to the force applied. All those Newtonian things. The rest of it, they keep on changing. One man will come, then change. Another one will come, add another one. They don't say, this one was. Even Albert Einstein changed his mind a number of times based on, listen to this, observation. Does the science has proven? They haven't proven jack. There is nothing they have proven that has disproved the scriptures. Nothing. I can tell you that. I know I'm biased. I'm a Christian. So I acknowledge that the bias is there. But to tell me science, don't believe that. Anybody who tells you religion is inferior to science does not know the science. And of course, knows nothing about religion. Knows nothing about faith. But even that science doesn't really know it. And people lie a lot. They do. They are full of lies. No, I wanted to quote the book, Stephen Hawking. And I said things have changed since that time now. I'll tell you what I meant. When I read A Brief History of Time, he did his PhD and stuff on the black hole. And he has a lot of theories on the black hole. One of the things he said, as at that time, I read it, that the whole world started as a small dot of hyper-dense whatever, then it exploded. All right? In what they call the Big Bang. So from that point, the universe began to expand. Now, we all know, if you throw a stone, as soon as you throw it, what starts happening to it? It starts slowing down. Okay? Now, this is only because of air resistance. So that one, there's no air resistance. So it will slow down because the energy is being diffused. So, but I use that stone for you to just know, it starts slowing down. The highest speed is at the beginning. So if it's slowing down, what does that tell you? Eventually, it will stop. All right? Now, so it's slowing down. So when is the fastest speed? Common sense. When is the fastest speed? That initial period. All right? So the speed keeps reducing. We said that's slowing down. Okay? Now, please just understand. Let's use elastic. When elastic reaches like something like has a spring, you know, it slows down and then it starts returning. Thank you. Why is it returning? Because there is a pull inside the elastic. All right? Something like a spring. That the universe has its own pull. It's called gravity. So it's expanding. So we say one day, gravity is very weak. Very, very weak, but persistent. It never vanishes to zero. It can be reduced, that is, as you are here. There's a planet 400 light years away. It's affecting your position. But it's so weak, you don't notice. So if they left you and that planet in the vacuum, eventually it will pull you in. It will take time. It may take thousands of years. You'll be accelerating slowly, you won't notice. You only start picking up, it looks like I'm moving fast. And you wouldn't know because there's nothing else around until you see the planet and see you are racing towards it. So universe being 14 point something billion light years across. Or is it the figure? I don't know the figure now. All right. But being billions of light years across. They said one day the energy in it as it's spreading, because let me not get into physics now. If you know thermodynamics, if it's spreading, it's getting cooler. As it's getting cooler, the energy is reducing. But gravity, even though it's low, is persistent. So it's not the spring. It starts pulling it back. If you start pulling it back. So after billions and billions of years, what will happen? Everything in the universe will crush upon itself. In fact, someone now said that it's possible it has happened before. There's not springing up and down. We don't know which cycle we are in. All kinds of nonsense talk. After I read the book, A Brief History of Time, next time I knew, they had developed powerful telescopes that had looked into the extremes of the universe and discovered that this black universe ain't slowing down. If anything, it's accelerating. Can you believe that? And that's the source of black holes. That black holes is when stars crush on themselves. They become hyper-dense. Let me not go into details so as not to confuse those who missed math. You did? For people who are in Nigeria Bar Association, before they get confused, let's leave that. But you know what? The man, after PhD, becoming a professor on these theories, they now found out, listen, by observing, that he was wrong. That all the people around there were wrong. That this universe ain't slowing down. That's accelerating. Now, let me just tell you something quickly. If I throw a stone, we said it earlier, it's slowing down. Instead of slowing down, it's accelerating. It starts moving faster. What's the first thing you ask yourself? What's pushing it? Because you throw this stone, you assume that this thing will reach the end of this 100-meter field. A very powerful person. Okay, yeah, Olympics, shot put. You throw your shot put, bam. You not only did he jump over the stadium, he's moving towards the moon. So people say, no, this shot put you threw, there must be something inside it that's exploding and releasing something that we can't see. There has to be an explanation. There has to be an explanation. Otherwise, something that's supposed to be slowing down cannot be moving faster. So you know what science now said? Please, when you are following scientists, be careful. What did I say? Please be careful. They now stated as a scientific fact that what is pushing it is a kind of energy. You are wondering, like, excuse me, which energy coming from where? Say, we don't know. So what, you know what they call it? Dark energy. Yeah. No, scientific fact. There are studies on dark energy. You will not know that nobody knows what is dark energy. Science has proven nothing. For example, he said there's heaven. Have you seen this heaven? Yet, this universe we are in, science has proven that most of the mass in it, they can't see. You know what they call the mass in it? That is the structures in it that we can't see too. It is there. How do you know it's there? It seems to be affecting the things we can see. What's the name of that matter they cannot see? They gave it a name, dark matter. And you're looking, and you are saying we are confused. Please, listen to this. What I've told you, for those who are, if you're following online, just go, when we finish this, check it. I've told you, just type dark energy into Wikipedia. Write dark matter. You see what I've told you is the truth. And I keep asking that, but you told me science has proven, they've proven nothing. They keep making observations. Okay, I'll give you another one. This is very recent. This one is very recent. A huge chunk of the theories about this universe that they believe is being discarded right now. Do you know why? With all this dark energy, dark, as I say, they launched a new telescope just a few years ago, yesterday, not literally yesterday, but it's not up to five, is it up to 5 years? Maybe 5-6 years. They call it the James Webb Telescope. That telescope is very advanced. It's advanced and it's very far from the Earth. So there's no dust, no cloud, nothing to obstruct his view. And he can see a wide range of rays. Apart from light, visible light, invisible wavelengths, it can see it. It's coated with real gold. So it picks things. It's very, very sensitive. Powerful equipment. The first set of images it sent to the Earth, all the scientific community studying astronomy for over 100 years, 200, 300, they got confused. Many of the things they believe turned out to be what? Lies. You know, I said something long ago. They said dinosaurs lived millions of years ago. You know, I told you it's not true. That Job knew what dinosaurs were. He gave them a name, Leviathan. To my surprise, recently I found out that somebody had picked the bones of dinosaurs and proved that there is still flesh in the bones. Some of them. It took more than 3 years of fight to have the paper published. They refused. Not literal flesh, the way you and I know it, but he could still extract DNA. No, not DNA. Proteins. That if I can still extract proteins, oh boy, you are not 1 million years old. And guess what? No scientific journal accepted to publish. The guy was dogged. It took years for anybody to... Because publishing it disrupts all the, tell you that, you know, 6 minutes. And please, let me take 1 more minute on this. When they write those things, they write them like facts. Please, they are speculations. They will tell you one Palatorius used to eat this one. How did you know? Give one big name. Sorry, I don't know the name of dinosaurs. That it used to fly around. How do you know? Say, it looks like it has wings. Ostrich, not get wing. Does it fly? Do you know, one day, this is not even a Christian, was it a Christian site? No. They took the bones of horses, some animals that exist now, and without telling people, say, okay, these are extinct animals, put flesh on them. If you see what they drew a horse to look like, I still have it on my phone. When they tried to reconstruct the flesh of animals that still exist, but they did not know. They just say, oh, this was found, maybe it's like, maybe we think it's 75,000 years old. What could it have looked like? They put flesh on the bones, and you wouldn't recognize your dear horse. See, there is no way you can draw flesh on a whale if you never saw one. I don't know whether I get my point. If you never saw one, you can't draw. So a lot of those things you see, pure imaginations. Pure imaginations. Just know, I'm not telling you what is right or wrong. Just know that these things are not trustworthy. So now you're reading scientific books. Please, I need young people to learn this. Because people say that when they went to university, they stopped believing in God. And you now believe in what? I'm just wondering, you now believe in what? Ha. You now believe in what? What do you now believe? Because I don't understand. Because you read the things you now so-called believe, it makes far less sense than the doctrine of God you were taught. No, it makes far less sense. Far less sense. Where I'm going with all of that, you see, when they are writing books, they say, this has evolved to prevent this. And you're like, excuse me. A plant. It evolved this to prevent this. A plant. Are you out of your mind? A plant thought and developed a poison to prevent himself from being eaten. Are you okay? This is variation. And then the natural selection. Oh, so the laws of thermodynamics disappear when it comes to evolution. Because there's a law of entropy, which we all know in thermodynamics, that things only move towards disorder. They never move towards order randomly. So the plants came together and said, guys, we are being eaten by goats. Very soon we'll go extinct. What are we going to do? We shall develop poisons against goats. Then so they said, this is why it is there. The plants developed thorns. They actually told us that they evolved thorns so that they will not dry in the desert. They were talking matter-of-factly, as if these things thought. And I said, have you noticed, you guys? Please go and read it. What I'm telling you, just once I reading science articles, books, and all of that, they give evolution in mind, which I like. Give it a mind. It has a mind. Time has a mind. It's turning everything in a particular direction of order. The law of thermodynamics don't apply when we don't want to believe in God. Do you know, science has used all kinds of names for God apart from God. They've called him evolution. They have called him time. They've called him chance. They've called him nature. They've called him dark energy. Called him dark matter. We know why the universe is expanding. The Bible says he opposes all things by the word of what? His power. You need energy. The energy comes from what? The word of God. Look, I'm not, do you know? One day I was leading, please, those of you, please, can you indulge me a bit? All you members of Nigeria Bar Association that don't understand, please just indulge us. There's what they call inflation theory. What is inflation theory? All right. But let me tell you, nothing moves faster than the speed of light. Is that okay? Yeah. Good. But in the first fraction of a second, everything expanded at the faster than the speed of light. Before they now realized that they can't go before faster than light. They now stood. Whatever it is. So they said, remember that Big Bang? Please follow this. We'll get to this message. That Big Bang, from a small dot, actually a dot, but let me just use my hand like this, to 1 trillion kilometers apart, occurred in less than a second. No, get my point. My two fingers, you separate them to 1 trillion kilometers apart in less than a second. Light does not move that fast. So, they say, it's called inflation theory. So many universes may have congealed inside it. So we are inside one. I said, okay, please, let's say it in English. If something from this space to 1 trillion kilometers occurred in less than a second, which means if it was supposed to be outside looking, I'm looking, then I blink. From the time I close my eyes and open in a blink, a universe will have appeared. Is that not what he said? From this dot space to 1 trillion kilometers apart, dimension 1 trillion kilometers, occurred in less than a second. If somebody was looking, no, which word will you use in English? There's one word. Who can tell me? Huh? Instant. If I close my eyes, as I was open, that is like I blink, less than 1/4 of a second. And this chair appeared, it wasn't there before. What would you say? Instantly appeared. No, that word is instant. And we said, God said, let there be light. What's the next one he said? There was light. I said, but this is what you guys are saying also. And you're telling us we're ridiculous. I don't know whether you're getting my point. You are telling me that there was a dot, very dense. It expanded, forget 1 trillion kilometers. That's too much. All right? It expanded to the size of the earth in less time than it takes me to blink. There's only one word for that in English. Instant. The only word for that in English is what? Instant. Brethren, I've spent all this time to tell you that this Bible you read is the most reasonable book on this earth. It's more reasonable than a scientific book, and I've read them. And I have read them. Anytime I read it, I said, these guys have all kinds of names for God. Let's go over them again. Nature, evolution, time, universe, chance, dark energy. What kinds of things? But you can't call it God. You know why you can't call it God? I'll tell you, there's only one reason. That means there's no other reason. There's one reason. This God does not mind his business. Once you call him God, suddenly you have to hear what he has to say about who you go to bed with. You suddenly have to hear what he has to say about whose money you are spending. Suddenly you have to hear what he has to say about how you earn money. Suddenly you have to hear what he has to say about how you talk about your neighbor. That's the problem. He wouldn't mind his business. If he would just create the universe and go away, we'll believe in him. We will know he created us. But he doesn't do that. He created us. Once you say, he said, good. Now you know me. No, I don't know you. Why don't you know him? You are thinking of Philomena. I don't know who's Philomena. I just found a name. You start rereading. I know you will deny him. Most of this denial is moral. It's not scientific. It's not evidence-based. It's a moral issue. And then, please, can I just drop this? There's somebody I tell that once in a while we get to chat. I said, don't worry, if they forgive. Because sometimes people look over their lives, say, Kai, if I face this, I'll go mad. That is, it's called Freudian ego defense. Yeah, it's called ego defense. If you face the truth about what your life has been like, you'll go mental. You look at your rotten life. If, you know, it looks normal because right now you are comparing your life with that of a PDD. Yeah. Somebody who's been, don't worry, not saying. You're comparing with him. So you look like a good guy. If you mistakenly take your life and compare with God, the rottenness of your soul scares even you. Yeah. So you carry your eye away. For such a person listening to me, let me tell you. There are two things he does. He forgives and he cleanses. That's why Jesus, a lot of people are running from God. For that reason. So they say they are avowed atheists. How can you be an avowed atheist? Say there's no God. How can you know? It's not even possible. Science has proven it. You cannot live. There's what they call local cluster. It's impossible scientifically to leave your local cluster. Now, let's even leave that. You can't leave this universe. This galaxy. And we're part of a cluster of galaxies. And you tell me there's no God. Are you mad? I mean, like, do you get my point? No, I used to have people like that. He said, please, I'm looking for my pair of shoes. This is inside the house. He said, no. And this fellow, I'm thinking of somebody now. This fellow that's saying no, he has not checked. He just opened the door, checked the sitting room, closed the door, said he's not in the house. You know who I'm talking about. Before I knew that guy's head was not very balanced, I used to believe him. I now started looking for the shoes outside. Until one day, after looking for my, not literally shoes, something else. After looking for my shoe everywhere, outside, out of frustration, I entered the house. As soon as I went past the sitting room, I saw the shoes on the staircase. So I said, you this black man, come. You said this thing was not inside the house. He said he opened the door, he looked, he not see him. Excuse me, the house we are talking about, if you counted the number of spaces, not rooms, you know, okay, like sitting room, staircase, kitchen, store, you know, then the bedrooms, toilets, number of those spaces in that house would not have been less than 15. And you just counting every space. Under the staircase is a space. Yet they just opened the door. You look like, say, the shoe is not inside the whole house. You know, the people you relate to, you know why God created hellfire. You just know. You just there's no any heaven they put you with spoil. People don't, that's why God created hell. It's not out of wickedness or it wasn't being vindictive. He's like, hey, wait. In the interest of people who love righteousness, all of you will go and stay in one place. Is there hell? Is there fire in hell? You know, I always say to people, I don't know. So, but the Bible says, the Bible could not have been literal. You know why? For you to have fire, you have to have either combustion or nuclear reaction. Two things that don't exist outside this physical space. So what's in hell? Is it fire? I don't know. But one thing I know, if they carry all wicked people, put them in one hall together, for 1,000 years, that is hell. Imagine somebody killing you every day because he's a murderer. And you can't die. You know, you won't want to wake up next day. Because yesterday, he whacked your head with one big rock. Then you died and woke up. Then the guy said, you see, he bring a gun, shoot you right in the chest. And you can't die. And you're going through this on a daily basis for 1,000 years. Bro, you're in hell. Oh, I forgot to mention one part. And it's intensely dark. You can't even see him. You know, if you could see him now. No, light is light. Light is a blessing. Yes, for the eyes to see the light, the Bible makes it clear, is a blessing. So is there fire in hell? I tell people, say, don't worry about the fire. The hell I can imagine. Eh? Fire is comfort. Yeah, at least you can feel something. Maybe to emit light. Maybe. But the real thing, the torture that goes with the real hell, I don't want to risk it. Anyway, that's just by the side. So somebody will not tell you that there's no God, and like, where have you been? I don't know whether you get my point. That's why I told the story of my guy. He opened my front door and said, my shoe is not the whole house. People are saying there's no God. They have not even gone to the depth of the Atlantic. You say there's no God. You've not gone to the Mariana Trench. There's no God. Let's even leave the earth. Mars, we have not even reached Mars. You say there's no God. Many of our planets, many of us don't know. They are not solid rock. They are made of gas. You've not gone into their center to see who's living there. Do you get my point? Just go in the center of Neptune. Hello? Anybody here? You have not gone there. And you say there's no God. I'm saying all of this for those listening to me this morning to bear it in mind. No science has proven anything against the word of God. Now, let me tell you something. Science says it doesn't make sense. So you can believe it. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Somebody say amen to that.
Amen.
That's what happened. People say, I've heard arguments. Was it literal days, day one? I said there are arguments that quantum physics has taught us, even philosophy. They've told us there are questions you can't ask. You know why? Once there's no human being there, the question of 24 hours is irrelevant. Yeah. Somebody said there was evening, there was morning, day one. That was the evening of God and the morning of God. It was the evening of the angels, the morning of the angels. How they measure their own time, none of your business. Time doesn't really count accurately until there's an observer. Yeah, those of you who know what I'm talking about, you know what I'm talking about. The woman that Simon is nodding. He gets the point. Yeah, I mean, so some arguments are irrelevant. I mean, I don't even believe it was the 24 hours literal. Please, forget literal or not literal. It's not your mate that's working. I don't know whether I get my point. No, imagine that you have a what they call a sugar cane plantation. No, let's use the one we all know, can easily relate with. Wheat or rice. Okay? Or corn, one of those things. And I tell you that one man went to work and he harvested 50 hectares in one day. One man went to work. He harvested 50 hectares of rice in one day. What would you say if I was talking to you in the year 1700? What would you say? You write book, you're a scientist, you've proven that I'm an idiot. I don't know what I'm saying. But if I said that to you in the year 2000, you would say, okay, who made the combine harvester? Which brand did he use? Was it John Deere? Or does Mercedes-Benz now make agricultural equipment? You're not arguing whether it's possible or not. Because you know anybody that harvests 50 hectares in one day sat on a harvester. You know that a harvester can do that job in one day. So, in 1700, you're arguing, how can somebody create heaven and earth in one day? Is it your mate that is working? Is he using your tools? There's one guy who calls himself a scientist. I have a classmate that believes so much in me. I said, don't be stupid. This guy is stupid. You hear what I said? I told the man, don't be stupid. The man you're following is stupid. Because they interviewed the man, a Nobel Prize winner. This man won a Nobel Prize in chemistry, was interviewing him. He's a biologist. That, is it possible that maybe God is there, we can't, he created everything, but we don't know him. Because, that guy said, no, that's Dawkins. The man Dawkins. Dawkins said, no. That is not open for that idea, because such a person will have to be hyper smart. I like the way you opened your mouth. God will bless you for that mouth opening. Because, I'm like, excuse me, Mr. Dawkins, that's why we call him God. Right now, because he said this just before AI exploded, now AI is beginning to do things you didn't know was possible. And someone is telling you there's no God. I said, what is wrong? I look at that day, I lost every bit of respect I had for him. Every bit of respect vanished. When a man of equal, at least, intelligence is interviewing you, and they give you a possibility, let us assume you don't know. Do you think there's a possibility you don't know? He said, no. That possibility does not exist, because if it existed, the person you are talking about has to be out of this world in his ability and intelligence. And he said, excuse me. That is the point. That's why we call him God. Please, I'm taking a moment here to talk to people this morning. Don't let it mean that you went to school. That's the reason why you don't believe God. No. When you won't go to school, you stop believing in God, you have just become stupid. You are believing things that don't even make sense. You are believing things that are just very irrational. And they make you know I faith is irrational. It makes more sense to say, somebody did this, we don't know who he is. Hopefully one day we'll find out. Or maybe not somebody, some people. When they say, Korea, is he literal? I say, was it your mate that was walking? 300 years ago, I tell you that somebody harvested 50 hectares of wheat in one day. You will swear that it's not doable. You have the scientific evidence. You will calculate the strength of men. You know, of course, the tools you have. How would they cut it? How one person? Abba. But tell an average person now, he doesn't think anything about it. Say, 50 hectares. Wow, that machine must be good. He doesn't even think the person carried the... Okay, now we even now know. I hope you now know that many of those machines are no longer driven by human beings. Somebody sits in an office and is watching it on the screen. Telling this, go over that again. He types a small this thing. The thing reverses. The day I saw a farm, you know one of the reasons why people can kill the economy with exports of chicken? Their chicken farm has no human being. In parts of Europe, from the day the egg is hatched, till the chicken comes back to you frozen in a pack, it's fed by machines, given water by machines. That is not AIO. I'm not talking about AIO. Old technology. Everything is just automated. It's automated. The water comes. They change the water. They clear the debris. Do everything. Everything automated. And God now says he did something in 24 hours, and he says it's not doable. Brethren, I have to recall that my thunder. But I have to call that thing back to business. I can't let it go like that. God has to fire some people for me. People be arguing that God cannot do something in 24 hours just because their grandfather cannot do it in 5 millennia. There's a reason why we call him what? God. And that's why he says things like, I understand you guys. Yes, you can't do it. You know why? Because I am God and there is none else. You take consolation in that. Can this be done? It can't be done. It cannot be done by any else. Because there is none else. The Lord is good. Help me. Let's get back. What did I read? What is it in? I want to lose faith in you right now because the way you are talking now. I can remember, I'm just watching all of you. Yes, you are right. Good. Everybody, clap for each other, man. Come on. Yeah, the Lord is good. Please, I hope that encourages some young people who are feeling, yeah, we went to school. So those of you who believe in God, this lack of school. Oh boy, I no book past you. I just know one brag. Uh-huh. The Lord is good. So, and let's then get back. So we read, first of all, from Psalm 24. We read the whole psalm, and I said I wanted three verses there, verse 3 to verse 5, in who will ascend to God's holy hill. All right? Then I now went, we're now going to the book of Ephesians chapter 4. I do open it. Yes. Yeah, so I wanted to say something that Paul was writing. Yeah, so that he gave the theoretical aspect about life. All right? So I wanted to now use the expression theoretical physics, that they used to give Nobel Prizes, that I learned that thing from Stephen Hawking's book. That's why we took off on that tangent, okay? So in that book then, I learned that most Nobel Prizes have been given to theoretical physicists. Many of us do not know Albert Einstein was a theoretical physicist. He didn't used to enter any laboratory. He didn't used to do any experiments. Many people don't know that. Yet, in modern times, there's no physicist like him. There's one year they call the year of the miracle. Four papers he published that changed the scientific world. In one year, all he used to conduct was thought experiments. He used to imagine things. You just imagine that if he's in an elevator and he shines light at the mirror in front of him, what happens to the light? He starts writing theories. But when he will finish writing his theories, they will take it to the laboratory and prove that he was right. There are things that they proved Albert Einstein was right years after he had gone. In fact, one of the ones they proved while he was alive, he said the universe is not static, that it's expanding. And he deduced that from making calculations. No, this thing cannot be static. The most powerful telescope they had showed that it was static. So reluctantly, he put something in they called the cosmological constant to explain the only reason why it can be static. Then when they built more powerful telescopes and said it was expanding, and he said the cosmological constant was the most, was the greatest error of his scientific life. By thinking, all right, he could arrive at things. So he was a theoretical physicist. But it didn't mean, you know, people say, you are just talking theory. Anybody tell you are just talking theory does not understand life. Theory is the foundation for the practical side. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
You know what I'm saying all of this? If you read the book of Ephesians from chapter 1, chapter 2, chapter 3, to verse 16 of chapter 4, you will see that Paul was talking theory. You were lost, you were dead in your transgression. God has now raised you up with him. You were alienated from the commonwealth of Israel, but now in him, you have been united. There's now one body, no longer two. He has broken down the wall of partitioning. By grace, you have been saved through faith. And that one not of yourself. It's a gift of God, lest any man should boast. Do you get my point? You go through all the scriptures, keeps on giving what you and I will call what? Theory. But just like the theoretical physicists, their theories will be proven in real life. The fact that time changes, that time for you and time for me are not the same, the real time, and that the clock will actually reflect it, depending on where you are and the speed at which you are moving, is the reason why you can use Google Maps today. The satellites in space, they use a different time from your phone. They say by the time the signals get to your phone, it's like the time will have changed. Do you know, if they didn't make that correction for timing, Google Maps will take you 100 meters away from where you are going, thinking it's correct. Theoretical, but it has practical effect. I hope you're getting my point. In the same manner, you may say Paul was talking theory. Paul said, no. All these theories I've spoken, they've come down practical. And if they are not practical in your life, it's because you have not truly believed. I hope you're getting my point. But only one of our sisters came to our house the other day. We're just talking. I told her, I said, see, okay. But I came there, she was talking to my wife. I said, okay, I don't have time for this kind of argument. This one saved, always saved. She goes to a church where they save, always save, you know? Yeah. They are one saved, they are always saved. I said, okay, I don't have time for that argument. That I'm striving for higher grounds. I don't have time for those who say, even if we sit inside the mud, we are children of God. I can't sit inside the mud. See, I don't know whether I get my point. I don't have time for that argument. That argument, I can't be involved in it. I have a serious thing I want to do with my life. I don't know if I get my point. You'll see it in a moment. There is a destiny God created me for, which I must manifest. It doesn't allow me such nonsense talk. I don't want to make it to heaven. No, just managing. Hey, you made it. No, be person they sit on through. There are people like me that the Lord will give. Maybe a handshake. Okay, sorry, I want to use a modern word. Maybe a handshake, maybe a hug. But thank you for using the word, a crown. There are those who will look and say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Are there not people that will be sitting down with you and says, even if I'm committing adultery, killing people, and I will still make it because I first answered an altar call. Which doesn't mean you are saved anyway. Because every faith makes a demand. Until you go back home and fulfill the demand of that faith, you are not saved, my friend. Nobody deceive you. You go to the front and the altar call. People, they walk out, go front. It's not front. Some people even like, they are what you call exhibitionists. They like to show. Even, they just look this church. How many people did there? 1,000. More answer altar call now. Why? They want to walk in front of 1,000 persons. So please, let's not even go there. Actually, I said, my sister, I don't have time for this kind of talk. I talk to those who will say, how do we advance further? I listen to men of God who will say, they have been in ministry for 30 years. One day they were about to enter their hotel room. Then they felt the Lord say to them, are you satisfied? And they paused. Am I satisfied? They look back 30 years, ministering all over the world. Having taught and preached to thousands and thousands and hundreds of thousands. Multitudes saved under their ministry. And they felt like, God, is there more? So before they answered God to say, we're not doing badly. They said, Lord, if there's more, I'm willing for it. I don't know whether I get my point. And the Lord said, there is more. You will find out. And then they start seeing another level of ministry. Listen to this. And that ministry level required a new level of consecration. There are people I have time to talk to. I don't have time for people who say that I used to be under condemnation, now I'm feeling free. And you are still in the sin. The Bible calls it the sleep of death. It's a person whose cold has entered into the base of the brain. He does not know he should run and keep warm. So he lies down, sleeps like the snow, feeling very comfortable, and freezes to death. That's the kind of sleep that doctrine has given you. I'm listening to people who say, none of these things move me. Neither do I count my life as dear unto myself. That's what I'm talking about. Those who have walked with the Lord for a long time, yet they say that I may know him and the power of his resurrection and the fellowship of his sufferings, being made conformable unto his death. If by any chance we attain unto the resurrection, it's a kind of resurrection I was talking about. That's what I'm talking about. There's a message I've recommended. What's the name by Derek Prince? Yeah, the name just escaped me now. No. That is a good one, but this one message is talking about God stripping you of everything until the only option you have in life is him. He analyzed the life of Abraham, comfortable at the age of 75 in his town, city where he was a prosperous man. God said, do you want more? Abraham said, there's more. Is there more? He said, yes. I want more. He said, come out. 75, he left everything behind. Left his father's house. But he took Lot and his father. Many of us don't know. He left the father's house, but his father was there. Lot was there. Then on the way at Haran, the father died. God said, good. Then one day, God came and removed Lot. And he kept on going. One day, God came and removed, what's the name of his first son? Ishmael. And Abraham said, fine. Then one day, God came and removed Isaac, that he may enter into his inheritance. See, but Isaac did not die. I've read my scriptures. The Isaac you know died. The one that came back is the resurrected Isaac. Now, I've just said something deep there. God, take Abraham. I said, take Isaac. Listen, at that point in time in life, Abraham had nothing in life apart from God and his word. Recently, I've been encountering some teachings. Many of us who think that God used to, he had a job. He had a, is it job or responsibility of making you rich to prove that he's the greatest God. I read my Bible, I found out that Abraham was not the richest at all of his relatives. I found out that the cousins of his descendants, like I was saying last time, they had more money But none of them had that seed. That God called Abraham out of... See, God is... Sometimes we think about it. Hey, if you go to America, if you go to Europe, you see there are roads. God said, go to earth, you will see roads. Yet I called Abraham out of it and took him into the wilderness. Archaeology has shown that earth that Abraham came out of had piped water at that time. They had story buildings. Was a city. They had the comforts of life. And God called Abraham out of it. And Abraham lived the rest of his life in tents. Tent alone. Did you hear what I said? Tent. Tent. One tent to another. Please, there are talks I don't want you as a Christian to be getting involved in. If you see road, if you see house, if you see this, if you see that, God says, is that what I'm doing? That's not what I'm doing. Well, I'm discussing with people who say, God, I will let go of everything to get to know more of you. People who rather have a glimpse of the Lord for a minute than to live in luxury for 10 years. That the, you know, oh, I wish you understood life. That the effect of seeing the Lord, all right, we satisfy constantly for the next, that is, the rest of your life. So people will give everything up just to have a look in that direction. So David will say, a day in your courts. Not even the Holy of Holies. Comparing to 1,000 outside. One day. And will not be arguing with me that if you deny Jesus Christ, you are still saved. It's not true, but I'm not even willing to argue it. Let's say, okay, fine. Deny him, be saved. God bless you. I'm talking about well done. Good and faithful servant. Do you know people can make God happy and people can make him sad? You're arguing whether you are still saved, you're not saved. Are you stupid? Even if you are saved, you are the reason why they are still crying in heaven, where there's not supposed to be tears. I'm still saved, I'm still saved. You are still saved? Are you okay? When you're coming, the Lord does like he doesn't know you. But there are children you look at, this is my beloved son, in whom I am well pleased. What does it mean? There are sons that are not loved, I'm not pleased with them. But they are still saved. They claim. That's very thought is what your problem is. Like somebody said, there's a joke when we're in school. Say, believe it or not, I'm a child of God. There's a sticker we had like that. Somebody said, yeah, you need that sticker. You need it. Did you catch that? Say, believe it or not, I'm a child of God. Say, you need that sticker. Because the, when we look at your life, you are a child of the devil. So we can't believe it. So you're not telling us, believe it or not, you're a child. Okay, we're here. But this child of God, don't visit me, please. Don't visit anybody I know, anybody I love. And I will tell everybody not to do business with this, believe it or not. What am I saying? There's a way your life will be. And to show that the things that people say were theoretical, they're actually true. That's why I told the story of Albert Einstein. Theoretical physicist. But now you have GPS tracking. GPS navigation. They used to calculate all kinds of things. What looked like theory is proven to be right. And that's how it is also. We learn the practical things. Let me say what faith is again. We made a mistake when we were young. The mistake that time, I don't know whether it was anybody's fault really or just the way life is, the stages. But faith was first presented to us as a way to get something. Yeah, I go back now, I said that was bad. And I think and you have to be careful about this. One of the things that cost it, I'm not saying it's the only one, but one of the things that cost it was an arrogant attitude towards those who came before us. Instead of us to have great respect for them, we laughed that they did not know. In fact, we had a word for them. We said they were sense knowledge people. The holiness movement came in before us. And that's before we started learning. I worked in that holiness movement a bit. I was a small boy. I don't mean I was a preacher. I mean, let me explain, literal. That time I tell you, it was 12, age. Do you get my point? So not as if, age of 12, just the drag girls go fellowship. They say, we can't wear lace. They are things of the world. I remember one of our teachers, there was one boy that was living with him. So one of us asked him that, do you watch television? He said, no, devil's box. We were in secondary school. All right? But when I got to the university a few years later, of course, I went to Deeper Life for a whole semester in my first year on campus. All right? Yes. And listen, everybody has something good. I still say it till now. I thank God I went to another fellowship, which I believe was one of the most wonderful fellowships we had on campus then. And it's not just because it was my fellowship. I look back, I say, yes, we had a very good balance. And there's a reason for that. I won't go into that. But my Deeper Life brethren had something that I didn't find in the most spiritual fellowship on campus. Discipline. They were disciplined people. Even my fellowship that I ended up attending, I became the head of the fellowship before I left school. We tried though. By policy, we had it, but our brethren didn't have it. Let me explain to you those days when we went to a Deeper Life meeting. If our fellowship was 7:30, if you came in at 7:25, you felt you were late. You are amongst those who came last. It was 7:30 in the evenings. Listen, I went there a whole semester, so I can tell you. By 7:25, all the seats are taken. People have sat down. And they are waiting for the meeting to start. They tell you Bible study is from this time to this time. It is from that time to that time. The Spirit didn't move them recklessly. Then I left them and went to a fellowship. There's a reason why I left. Everybody has their faults, so there's a reason. A fault, which was the reason why I left. Actually, my mother objected very strongly. My mother... We're talking one day. She just asked me, and I mentioned, he said, you know, I don't bother about these things. And because she's a Catholic, anywhere you go. He said, but this one, no. He said, this one, no. I say, no, you can't go back there. And there was a reason. And it had to do with holiness things. Not that they were too holy, but they were too holier than thou. It is holier than thou. No, I can tell you. My younger sister used to go to the fellowship near the house for children. Then she became ill, and she was ill for like a month. And their teacher, who was living next door, did not cross into our house to say, how is she doing? My mother said, is that how holy you are? No. But that was a holiness for some of them. The Jews used to go to the house of Gentiles. When Peter got to the house of Cornelius, go and check the conversation. He said, you know, we don't come to the homes of Gentiles. What's his name? The centurion. He said, I'm not worthy. It wasn't because he was the Lord, it was because he was a Jew. A Jewish rabbi. He said, I'm not worthy to have you under my roof. Not be today. But let's not sit on that. So I left. I went to another fellowship. They're still there. Big church now. Why I stopped in that one, why I stopped going, was that I never see that level of indiscipline in my life. A man coming from a holiness place where when we say fellowship is 7:30, everybody is seated by 7:25. You now get to a place where they say fellowship is 8 o'clock and 10:30 they are looking for the pastor. Fellowship is 8 o'clock. They will not say opening prayer till 9:45. And by 12 o'clock, Holy Ghost is still moving. Yeah. And I was supposed to read as a student. You know, after a while, I looked at these people. As young as I was a very young boy. I said, no, this cannot be the way to heaven. It's the reason why I stopped going. Nobody fought me in that, but I said, no. I just realized that I couldn't plan anything. You couldn't tell a friend of yours, say, okay, Maybe he said, okay, we're supposed to go and read after. So, okay, I didn't go fellowship. Oh. So when do we go to class? Okay, let's even say 11 o'clock. It was the campus. These things are a bit different. But then all of us stayed on the campus. We were in the hostels. You could even say, okay, we'll go to class at 11. Because you went to fellowship by 8. You didn't know when the Holy Spirit would put break. Everybody prophesied. I look back now, I say it's not necessary. Everybody had the word. Everybody. Every fellowship, we are falling and rising. After a while, I said, no, this is not the will of God. But the problem was that first fellowship I'm telling you about, that movement, when the next movement came, they threw away the baby with the bathwater. Everything threw it. We should have, the Bible says, take hold of one and don't let go of the other. You should have held to some things they had. That discipline and morality, we should have held on to it tight. And we would have added on top of it faith movement and all of those things. But what did we do? We just threw everything away. So, from going to a church where women did not wear jewelry, they didn't use makeup, all right? I started mingling with brethren where my own brothers would look and say, they would tell me, what do you think that girl? Nobody church with this. You will see, there's one fellowship, not my fellowship. People felt comfortable coming to fellowship in bomb shorts. I'm not exaggerating. And you can't talk because God looks at the heart, not at her bum. That may still embarrass that they're like, no. Oh boy, it happened. You know, I came to fellowship where, you know, this world is not your home. You're just passing through. That is, everybody is holy. And you know, in my fellowship, that one I'm telling you about, there was them, we had keyboard, drum. Only those who worship idols are going to hellfire that beat drums. You now get the fellowship way, praise now, break dance. We want to praise the Lord. You know, all kinds of things. You like, praise now, rap. Just swung from one extreme to the other extreme. Thank God the fellowship I finally entered. Eh? We're somewhere in the middle. Hey, I thank the Lord for it too. But some of my brethren, those is on campus. I look back now, it was bad. And what's the doctrine? God looks at heart. It was the reason, I believe, one of the reasons why, when was I learning faith? We learned faith wrongly. We learned faith for getting. It was all the faith was about what? Grab. You remember my story about my corn? I told you the story about corn.
Yes, sir.
I sat in my room and I was calling corn. The corn I could see that had money to buy, but I didn't have this discipline to cross the road. I wanted to show my faith worked. I speak to that corn. 2 cups, fresh, freshly roasted. Sweet corn, approach. In the remember the other one, lies we used to deceive ourselves. I speak to my angels, go and collect the corn. Angel look like, say, this guy will. If we get authority and mend you now, God sent us to the earth to come and be collecting corn. Some of us think angels are errand boys. Go and buy my corn. The angel will just appear, show you a sword. Say, no, I'm not fighting you. I just want to see. You think I have this sword because of corn? So let me just show you what I do with this sword. These are 2 court boys that wanted to attack you last night. We injured both of them. They are still in the hospital. You didn't know about it. They are sending me to go and get corn. The angels will look at you and say, oh, oh boy, behave yourself. They will just replace some parts of campus you pass through. Boys wanted to mug you and collect all your valuables. And they threw all the boys into a ditch. The boys are sitting in the ditch 2 days later crying for help. But you don't know about it now. You've gone to your room. And they say, may I go buy corn? They just go look at you. They will ask for a deployment. Say, dear Lord, please come and give these people angel, hail Mary, full of grace. Because we don't have time for things like this. Go for angels that will be still telling you. We actually have, I'm telling you. We felt our angels could go and buy corn. I look back now, I'm almost embarrassed. I say, God, I know you understood now. Small children, small children do funny things like that. Faith was not for that. I wish we had learned, first of all, that faith was for obedience. Every day I'm learning that it takes courage to do the will of God. And when we say courage, now people think that it's courage to go into Sambisa forest and fight bandits and preach in the face of Islamic fundamentalists. That's true. Some people have it. But you know, it takes courage for you to have a job offer in today's Naira, starting salary, 750K a month, and you turn away. And your father knows about it. Your mother knows about it. Your elder ones know about it. I said, no. I feel like I should stay in this town first. I want to learn the word of God for the next 2-3 years in this church and work there. So the job you got, yes, it's a nice one. How much are they paying? Their starting salary is 85,000 naira. But they say that they will give us some bonuses. Let me to be honest with you. It takes courage to tell your father that. He will call your uncles on you. I don't want to talk to him. It takes courage to get a job offer. Say, report next week abroad. Starting salary, $3,000 a month. And the company will take care of your accommodation. You look, and they will prepare all the paper, everything. You don't have to stress. Just send them, mail them your passport. They will arrange everything. Post the passport back to you with a ticket. Come to work. What does it mean? I said, no. I promised my brethren that we are going to do that rural rugged. It's going to take 6 months, and we are going to Abakiliki. From there, we'll reach. Brethren, it takes courage. See, let me be honest with you. It takes courage. You know, Pastor Okemete of Truth Assembly has been terrorized in this life by pastors that have more money than him. When we're laughing, we're joking. You know, one day they wanted to rent a venue. Maybe they offered 2 million. That's what they look like. Pastor, I'm only talking to you because they told me that you're a good person. Your colleague, fellow pastor, he gave me 7 million naira. You are offering me 2 million. Which kind of ministry are you doing? No, flat. That was the end of the discussion. I said, Pastor, please, let's not be going up and down. I can't even consider this your offer. See, you and this man, two of you are not pastors. Both of you not working for God. And God gets 7 million, your God gets 2 million, and you say you're in the same ministry. Now leave that. No, we're laughing about this, but listen, it's not a joke. He said somebody now told him, when he hears some amounts of money some guys will call, he said, one lady told him that, he said, how do people get this kind of money? You're just the way we're discussing. He said, one sister told him, he said, Pastor, I want a small thing now. He mentioned two Nigerian cities, because some of the people are following us from there. People are saying, I call them Laodicea, so I will not call them names, all right? Mention to Nigerians, say, just move to this city. Listen to the next thing. Say, and change your message small. Say, Pastor, you'll be all right. You feel go hellfire, but at least while you're on the earth, they will take care of you. It takes courage to say no to such things. Yes. I mean, they are making you look like you don't know what you're doing. An unbeliever is telling you, two of you are pastors now. I should give you my venue to do ministry. Now may God call. The God that called, tell him to wire you something. Abba. You know, they do transfer forever. Toast. You know, when we were talking to our sister yesterday, she and my wife were talking. She said, he said, ma, these are the kind of messages you don't preach there, oh. And she admits, because it doesn't bring money. It takes courage to be preaching it and not having money. You know, that joke we cried the other day. Jesus said, the harvest is plentiful and the laborers are few. You know, we told the Lord. And Lord, let's explain to you, this is Nigeria. Your harvest is plentiful and laborers are few because you know they pay. You say, Jesus, come. Your salary scale, we've checked it. Could it work? I mean, laborers will be few. Even the banks can't get staff. You want to get staff. How come they look for staff? You say they compete. You say laborers are few. You say, Jesus, let's send the sagacity concept to come and help you restructure your pay package. See, you tell the Lord, this is, start your boys on just $4,000 in Nigeria a month. You go, no, say the harvest is not even many. I mean, when you see laborers, you go, no, say, they will report, say, where the harvest? Like we said, they will bring combined harvester. What are you talking about? No, really. But it takes, believe me, it takes what? Courage to stand for the truth when it's not paying you. Remember when I said something, my wife tweeted it. People started calling her, Mama, is everything okay? Her sister called. Sis, how far? Is everything okay? She just wrote it, righteousness does not pay. It was a statement I made here. She just put on her status immediately. Righteousness does not pay. Ah! People panicked. What happened? Are you okay? What did pastor do? I never trusted him. What did he do? I look at his black face. I knew something. Well, she did it to set everybody up. Literally, her sister called. Says, are you fine? So, yeah, I'm very fine. I just want all of you to know, don't expect payment for doing what is right. Don't expect anything. You have to love righteousness. My wife does not pay. She's just my wife. Are you getting my point?
Yes.
You should just love righteousness. You should be satisfied that you've done what is right. I have a person that I believe was, well, one way or the other, God led us into it. There's a driving, you know, Enugu has good roads. We thank God for that. All right. So one of our governors put traffic lights at every junction. With 95 times out of 100, nobody obeys, you know. Except it's time that fed them must be, they may be, you know, caught and MOT. Those guys could catch you and go and pay a fine. So this morning I was hurrying. For those of you who know, I was quite late this morning. I didn't even attend the co-workers' prayer. I was very late. Another reason why I was late, another story. So, you can now imagine, as I was blowing down, bam, the traffic light just said, stop. I looked at the number of seconds waiting. I hit the brake. I actually said to the Lord, I told the Lord, please switch this thing off now. But I couldn't pass it. There was this convoy of buses. I think they have come from Opera Square or the International Conference Center. I overtook one on the way, quite dangerously. The guy wanted to take that curve. I rushed him to enter the curve. I'm sure the guy was like, is this guy crazy? Because it was a massive, you know, those massive luxury buses. I gave the guy a nose. Took one turn because I was hurrying. I read the next traffic light. And stop. The guy just looked at me like, see you. Because I over, you know, I gave one guy a sharp one at one speed break. I overtook another one of them, and there were three. I read the traffic light before them. One of them just came, boom, boom, boom. They all passed the traffic light like it wasn't there. Every vehicle that morning went past it non-stop. Everybody suddenly were in a hurry, not out of courtesy to even say, okay, this is a man of God, though. Let's wait behind him. I stood there all by myself. Lonely. Forlorn, you know, like, Lord, when shall you come? I told the Lord, please switch this thing off. You are making this righteousness painful. I thought, you know where they go. Now preach, I won't go preach. But you know, I had to stay there. Nobody was going to arrest me. Nobody, I don't think, there are cameras there, but they are not using them yet. Okay, so I don't know. But for the Lord's sake, I just put my brake. I was not looking for something to use to occupy my time. But that clock was ticking away. Tom. Tom. You know what I'm saying, all these things? It takes courage. That's what that faith was for. Yes, we were told to use it to collect food. We were told to use it to collect raiment. We were taught to use it to collect healing. And healing is beautiful. One of the major things Jesus did was heal the sick. But it takes faith. Three times the Lord called Peter. Follow me. He Peter said, I get fish where they catch. So we will see you for service for evening. Jesus came again. Oh, yeah, come now. Let's go now. He went. He came back. It was finally one day. Because remember, if you wonder, if you don't look at those stories, that what's going on here? Today, Peter was with him. Tomorrow, he had to borrow a boat from Peter. What was Peter doing on the boat? Because Peter was just coming and going, coming and going, coming and going. Finally, he told Peter, see, what's all of this thing you are doing? Let's prove to you it's not worth it. So, Peter, can I use your boat to teach? He sat there and he taught. When he finished, all right, Peter, let's pay you. Cast your net here. And Peter said, leave that. The fish, they've moved by now. The time they normally come to the surface is the night. And we toiled all night. We didn't catch anything. So anyway, nevertheless, at your word, he cast the net and put that massive draught of fish. That was when Peter became convinced of what John had been telling them. Behold the Lamb of God that takes away the sins of the whole world. He said, depart from me, I be sinner. Jesus said, hey, finally, from now on, no catching of fish. We'll be catching men. Let's go. It takes courage not just to leave the fish. That's where I'm going. What was the faith for? To leave fish behind. To leave catching fish behind. Come on, it takes courage. It takes courage for you to be on your... Oh, there are prophets that are poor people, like Amos. Amos was a hired hand. I don't believe the farm was his own. We tell you that this is what I do. I keep, not I own. I take care of sycamore trees. Poor prophets like Amos. So God called them. It's nice. You go and prophesy. Elisha was not like that. Elisha alone was supervising 12 pairs of oxen plowing at the same time. That's a massive field. And the prophet comes, throws his mantle on him. And the guy knew what it meant. They knew Elijah. Elijah passed and threw his mantle. They were sons of prophets, so Elijah didn't go there. No, they were school of prophets. Elijah didn't go there. Those guys were in there meditating every morning. God sent him to a rich farmer. Go and cast your this thing on that guy. Anoint him in your stead. Elisha looked at Elijah, said, sir, let me go and settle my affairs. Elijah said, what did you concern me? Essentially, I've done what the Lord said I should do. Pick you as a successor. The guy slaughtered his oxen, broke the plow, used it to cook the oxen, and then left everything and followed Elijah. Brethren, it takes faith. It takes faith. It takes faith. That's what faith was for. That was what faith was for. No, to be honest, that was not the only thing we learned, all those bad things. We learned some, at least, we learned, faith helped us with honesty. I know it did. It did. It helped me. That one, it helped me. I remember one exam. My finance, actually. ONG. The lecturer just said something. It's for the patient. No, we don't have to touch you again, madam. Don't worry. Oh, no, they've examined her a number of times today. No. Don't worry, he won't do it. Okay, by the way, young man, have you done this before? He just said you won't have to do it. All I'm there to say was, yes. So I said, no, sir. You might look at, what did you say? He said, you asked me whether I've ever used this equipment and done this particular procedure. I said, no, sir. The man looked like, what? Hey, what kind of student? I tried to explain that the day it was my turn, we didn't have this. In fact, that day it was like supposed to be a good thing that they gave me this one. And this and... The man was angry. Followed him to the... Because the way we did our long case, then followed the same examiner to the office, and he would do the rest of the oral exam. So the senior registrar, who was the chaperone that day, pulled me. I said, why didn't you just tell him yes? I said, sir, that wouldn't be true. The man was so angry. But the man told you he was not going to ask you to do it. What did you see was say yes? In my mind, yes. You want to die? So as I was going inside, I said, Lord, I beg you. Now because of you, I'm not talking here, so you got to deliver me now. So we sat down, the man asked a few questions. I answered, he was impressed. He said, all right, I will forgive you for not having done this procedure. I said, thank you, sir. He said, now after this exam, you go back to the ward. Make sure, nobody's going to do that. I mean, you know the way it is. We are done with you. We have other problems in life to solve. I mean, pediatrics is queuing up in front of us. But where I'm going is at least we learned that thing. It also taught us some things. I'm just looking back, I wish we did not even bother with sitting on grab. Because the primary thing faith does for us is not to grab. Literally, it's to give ourselves up for the Lord. It takes faith to obey God. It takes faith to slap you on the right cheek. Jesus said, turn the left. Excuse me. Sir, I'm not saying I won't turn the left, but let's just get this clear. Before I gave my life to you, I had a black belt. I had black belt. Let's leave that in. Lord, see, I'm not as if I want to slap back. I just want you to know that if not, this guy don't die. That's what the flesh wants to do. But it takes faith to turn the other cheek. It does. I want to say something, please. You must learn it. See, everybody, in fact, I found out that everybody likes control. Madame Macamps. That's what. How did you know that's what I was trying to remember? I was going to say Chidi. I said, no, it's Macamps. Everybody. It takes faith to marry a black man like this and let him lead the house when he can be very foolish. It takes faith, though. See, if you didn't trust God, don't marry. If God is not on your side, no man is worth submitting to. They are but flesh. Either they are wicked or they are stupid. Do you get my point? Oh, both. Sometimes both. Some they mean well, but they don't know anything. Some they know everything, but they only think of themselves. You are supposed to come to the house, bear them children. Yeah, a lot of men are very, very bad people. So I said, so this idea of submission. Please, if you are not going to church, don't bother. So if you don't know the Lord, I'm advising you now, as a man of God, don't do submission. Just do partnership, sign agreement and everything. Every money that comes, this is how we're going to spend it. I work here, this is how much I'm bringing. You work, this is how much you are bringing. I want to see your business account. Any day you don't, my accountant will write you. Husband will have lawyer. Wife will have lawyer. I don't know why we carry gospel things and be telling people in the world. That's how they can live it. If you don't know the Lord, this principle of headship and submission is senseless. Only God can help you to do that thing. And you know, let me just tell you, one of the reasons, just to help people, why you submit is because you know that the more I submit to you, the more you're in trouble with him. You hear what I'm saying? Yes. If you want him head to hurt, that's like, you want this guy to have a headache, just wake up in the morning. Nah. Put one in for ground. Hey, Lam, this is your baby now to die for. Ultimate father. What will your lordship like to eat this morning? Say, I'm still sleeping. Sleep well, my lord. That day, if he does anything that's not in alignment with the will of God, you have frontal headache. He said, I think my head is aching. He said, you disobeyed God. You must have disobeyed God because God has been on my side. She said, I woke up on your case this morning. What God always does. I told you, when he says slap, when he slap on the right cheek, turn the left. What he's saying is that I will handle him. Let his slap be plenty. I have ordained him to be wired and killed and destroyed after 125 slaps. So when he gives you one, quickly turn the other cheek, okay? When he's, turn again. If you just do R125 in one day, if you survive it, by next day, he's gone. I will break the back of that oppressor permanently. Weapon 125, you can't stop me, you can't stop me. Just a small joke. When I was in secondary school, I was small like this. I had a classmate who was significantly older than me, a few years, and he had more sense than all of us. He was older than me. He was the brightest student in the school. We were classmates. Big boys would come and say, come, come on, get out, you know, bullies. I said, no, you know, with my small voice. You cannot get it just for me. Now, one day, the guy come. He said, Bankole, he will beat you, nothing will happen. He said, how can someone like Kola say he will slap you? And he said, he can't slap you. Who told you he can't slap you? And the guy was referring to, you know, we used to call the guy Kola Pom Pom. That is, the guy was big. He said, can someone like that say he wants to slap you? And he said, he can't slap you. He said, he can't slap you and nothing's going to happen. He said, I've noticed that anytime they threaten me, I tell them, very smart guy, tortoise, you know, he said, I tell them that when you will have slapped me, how will it benefit you? That guy, you know, you said we check yourself, like. I didn't just want, I'm just warning you. It's okay, I've been warned, thank you. When that guy gave me a lecture that day, brethren, I borrow sense. I forgot the sense after many years. One day at the express here, one truck, I didn't know, decided to go against traffic. At this end of the road, now I press my brake. Say, Nabe, move. 2 seconds to assassination. I realized that this guy is not planning to stall. Immediately, thank God my engine did not stall. Immediately, I moved out of the way. That guy was so not planning to stop, he jammed my back. You know, as I turned like this, he hit the back. I looked like, what? Finally, I pursued the motor. He now managed to stop somewhere when the road was flat. He said, oh, God. 3 of them, when they came, they began to beg. Sorry, sir. Now, brake failed. I said, yeah. He now made a statement. He said, Oga, me you save the try. When you see truck, they come. Me they come off the road. He said, they know they get break. Since that time till today. No, ask my chair, I tell them. I said, no, don't stop. I said, truck, no, stop. I said, no, don't struggle road with them. Those guys are so big, when they jam, you don't even notice sometimes. So since that time, when the truck is coming, I said, oh no, we're not going the same direction. I'm going to back leave you guys to Port Harcourt. Bye-bye. When they struggle again, no. Where I'm going is that Jesus said, listen, when there's an oppressor, you can't fight him. But I can fight him. But my fight is not arbitrary. I count the amount of oppression that triggers judgment. So help me, let him attain it quickly. It's called the iniquity of the Amorite, not yet full. So, if he slaps you one, allow him to slap more. Because there's a certain number of slaps he will give. Then he will trigger judgment. And that judgment will destroy him permanently. I'm talking about faith. Faith, when you understand that, please, wives, learn it. You are not a fool. You are somebody believing God. Are you getting my point?
Yes, sir.
See, let me tell you, God is concerned about your matter. He actually sits beside your bed, especially if you cry about things at night. And he sits there. What's the problem? Says, my husband, Joseph. What did he do? He said this. He said that, Judas, the way he treated me, he never went again. Is that okay? Don't worry. You'll rub your face, you'll fall asleep. And you know, that black man is on that side. Pretend to be on the computer. God will just come. You this boy. Come here. So you see his neck is sprained. Come to the sitting room. His stomach will start paining him.
It's the Lord. Press his hand like this. Put his hand on his stomach. What is wrong with you? You suddenly start realizing, my wife is very quiet. Oh, she's very nice. Oh, say yes. What? Let me just tell you, as I leave, any prayer where you say, no answer. Sir, what did you say? I said, I want to answer your prayer again. Why? You are not dealing with wisdom and kindness with your wife. Yeah. So when you're sleeping, your wife says, husband just go, honey, close your eyes. I'm sleeping. Honey, I want to talk to you now. In the morning now. Nah, he said, no, now. Just 5 minutes. You know why? Headache, belly pain, no answered prayer. If now you be the man, you go let the woman sleep. You go, yeah, I'm so happy. I just want to tell you, I'm so sorry. The Lord will bless you. You know, it's satisfied. And don't do, no. Just wrap your hand too. Okay. You know, I need a good man. He's not a good man. It's the Lord that is good. There's no good but God. God has, no, really. It sounds like a joke, but I mean it, literally. God actually supports the person he commanded to step down. He does. But what I'm talking about is faith. It takes faith to do those things. It takes faith. It takes faith to do exactly what God wants you to do. It's not personal determination. It's faith. And that's the primary thing faith is for. I'm trying to get somewhere, all right? So when Paul was speaking, I think that, let me go again. I just watched my time now. We need to close on time today for reasons why that many of us here know. So when Paul was speaking, all right, he said those things of the Spirit, which are true, we have to activate them in our lives. There's a reason why I went to that faith issue. Faith is not how I believe God. It is mine. No. Faith is how I, because it is mine, I do works that I agree that they are mine. I don't know whether you're getting my point. Let me give you an example. Let me use money as an example. One reason why Christians are generous is not because they like to throw away money. It's because the major reason others are not generous is fear of tomorrow, and they don't have the fear. So what I have is 10,000 naira. I hope that it will work for me for a number of days. But the need comes. Somebody needs 1,000. Even me in the house, 2,000, I need to do something. Then at the end of the day, if we did everything, the money that will be remaining will be very little, maybe 1,005. That wouldn't last. I know. See, it's not like I'm trying to pretend. I know God will take care of tomorrow. So I do that which he has commanded today. So the generosity is not out of, he has such a nice heart. No, he has a trusting in God heart. Do you get my point? He has a trusting in God heart. One reason why we are kind, maybe you're a business person and you don't hide opportunities from your competitors or your friends. You know, some people, if a door opens, maybe you're in the office, they want to promote people. And you know the deadline for application for promotion is so and so date. And you get to know before other people. A lot of people you know, they will keep quiet. Yes, they will zip their mouth. They will perfect their application. Andrew, what are you doing? There are these papers I know. I just walk in, you know. Things are happening in this country. You know, I don't even know. Do you know APC, and then PDP? It will change the topic. Then when he's sure his own paper has gone in, so that you won't say he didn't tell you. A few hours before expiration, say, Philip, you know there's promotion interview coming up. Quickly go and apply so he can say he told you. But he knows his own has already jumped a number of tables. But we Christians, we don't do like that. You know why we don't? We know that exaltation comes only from the Lord. That if God wants to promote me, he will. Simple. If he doesn't want to, he will not. My hiding it from you or not hiding from you, it won't change. In fact, it annoys him. So if you know, it doesn't change anything. If you don't know, it doesn't change anything. So I may as well tell you so that you will know. And if for that reason, listen, this happens. They wanted to promote one person. You went and told your friend and they promoted him and did not promote you. You know why? It was not because you told him. It was because it was not yours. That's all. And if you have put your leg inside it, you will have been injured.
That's it. So you don't need to hide anything from anybody. And we don't because we know who owns the matter. It belongs to God. God did something for me years ago. It was a small thing, it seemed. But he keeps on telling me those little stories that actually he's the one in charge. There was one, you know, one of these massive collaborations, things like that, they were planning abroad in the U.S. and bringing it to Nigeria. So somebody there knew, had a literal brother down in Nigeria who told the chief investigator abroad, please, put my brother on this team. And that one said, fine. Except that I was driving, I still remember where I was that day, when my phone rang. And somebody said, hey, oh boy. I said, oh, Gasa, good afternoon. I've just included your name on my team for so-and-so. We have to go to so-and-so place for this particular training. I said, what is going on? I said, I'll tell you later. I just want you to know I put your name. I said, okay. I had no idea. Nothing. The man who was there waiting for it, they didn't put his name. Incidentally, he happened to be the head that needed to send my application to travel through. It was the first time he saw it. I didn't even know. It was when we got to where we're supposed to travel. This was many years ago. Today I'm telling you, it's nothing like, it's almost 20 years now. It was when we had to travel to one part of Nigeria for all of what that means. So the head of the whole team is an American woman, right? A professor from America. So when we don't introduce each other, when I told where I came from, she not mentioned her. Do you know this person? I said, yes, I do. That's when she realized that they didn't pick him. I came from that same place, and that guy wasn't picked. When I found out later, I said, this is the way this God works. You know what God just did? The specialty handling the whole thing. They went around the country recruiting people. So the point man they recruited happened to be a personal friend. Do you get my point? So he was the one that was given the job of putting down the Enugu team. Putting together the Enugu team. So what he did was that he just called the person he knew. I said, oh boy, I said, Oga, I do. I put your name inside this matter. I said, look at the way things work. I didn't know all of this. It was later I found out this other part of it. That this scheme that had gone on, I wasn't aware. Time for election. God said, no, that's the person I want on that team. So that's why we Christians, we behave the way we behave. We are not... People are struggling for one position. I used to do this in Lagos, literally. I didn't have a car. I used to go out. I don't know how Lagos is now. I've not lived in Lagos like that in over 20-something years. All right? But then I lived in Lagos. I left Lagos in 2000, all right? And since then, I've going back to Lagos, I know they enter, of course, you know, you pass some level now. So I know they enter bus, people, taxi, all of that, people carry you. But those days in Lagos, to go and enter bus those days, you go to bus stop, you see human beings, you wonder where they are all going. Each bus that comes, giddy. I had the law. I never rushed bus all the years I was in Lagos. Never. Never. I never did. Not once. I don't care the time. I don't care the hurry. I never did. You know what I used to do? I used to pray for a bus. And I'd go and stay in one place. People are running up and down. I said, this is my spot. Whichever bus will pick me today, we'll stop here. I never failed. When people are running around, they say, oh, boss, ojelegwa. What did the boss whiz past me? And people run after it. Not me. I'm not going. This guy, I'm not shifting. I'll stay there. The one who suddenly stop, whoom, what you like, man? I entered that. Everybody will be rushing behind me. That's your portion. Rush behind me. Get behind me, Satan. That's what he said. But why did I do that? It wasn't calculation. I used to literally pray. Dear Lord, I'm going this way. Please send me a boss. And sign that I'm trusting him is that I wouldn't move up and down. I just locate my area and I wait. I wait there patiently until the boss comes. So I'm giving these examples. That's what faith does for us. That's what faith does. Faith is the reason why Pakams will let Pakams lead. Not really because she trusts Pakams to lead. She trusts the Lord to lead. And the Lord says, okay, this is how I want my order. I will be in front, Pakams next, you after him, and Kams after them. So when Chidima is following Joseph, she's not following Joseph, she's following the Lord. And that's the reason why, in your own interest, every night you will pray for Pakams, lest he forgets the Lord and starts leading everybody somewhere else. Say, dear Lord, though, I didn't marry him for that, though. I knew you before I married him. So marrying him is that I trusted that you would. So, that, you know, it's not every disobedience God agree. Say, I don't want to serve God again. God said, not now. I said, no. He said, serving you now by force? Yes, by force. How can it be by force? You married my daughter. I see you, I don't care. I don't even like you again. But this girl wants to be a good girl. You are not the reason why she will not be.
Yeah.
Whoa. That's it. Like I was trying to understand what I told me. I said, if you say God, no, they do bad. I said, which God? May not do you bad. God will beat you, you beg, say, kill me. Say, no, I'm not they kill you. I'm not killing you. You say you will do everything. I say, yes. I won't reward you in heaven, but on this earth you must obey. Because if you are willing and obedient, you will reward, there's reward. But this one says you are not willing, but I will make you obey. Not for you, not because of you, but because of those who are following you. So to reduce the headache in your life, you grudgingly obey God. God will put you on obedient assignment for 40 years. When you reach heaven, say, where my husband? Because I don't even like the guy. See him at the back there. I wore his flesh to take care of you. So that is why, as a woman, you activate that. You will kneel down and say, my husband, you will obey God. This is the way they talk. You won't say it to his face, in the face, honey, husband, Lord, whatever you call yourself, we'll go follow. But when you don't turn your back, we'll kneel down. Dear Lord, in the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. Lord, give him wisdom. Help him. Give him strength. Heal him. Give him understanding. Fill him with the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of you. Let the eyes of you. You will pray for your sake and the sake of your children. You want to hear the truth? He will answer. He will answer. He will answer. That's what faith does for us. I don't explain that. All right? We're not going to do this message. And we have to go. Now, let me just make this statement. If I can't get into what I want to teach today. So remember, I'm talking about what faith is for. Faith is for making those realities, the invisible realities, practical. And the practical side of faith is obedience. It's not money. It's not food. It's not prosperity. The practical side of the invisible is what? Obedience to the order of God. So let's now read that so that you understand what we're trying to say. Ephesians chapter 4. So he said, now after all those theories, like we said, there are many theories he gave. You have been, there's a hope of your calling. There's one baptism. He said so many things. The mystery hidden in all ages past. Many things that he said, the theoretical aspect, that is the spiritual, physically intangible, but spiritually tangible aspects of our faith. He now says, so this I say, and I affirm together with the Lord, that you walk no longer just as the Gentiles also walk. How do the Gentiles walk? He said in the futility, I like New Living Translation, he said they are hopelessly confused. They don't know spiritual realities. They are hopelessly confused. Let me read New Living Translation further. He said their minds are full of darkness. They wander from the life God gives because they have closed their minds and hardened their hearts against him. If you go to verse 20, he said, for you, you've learned about Christ, and that's not the way things are in Christ. How things are in Christ is you throw off your, okay, since you have learned about Jesus and have learned the truth that comes from him, this is the practical side of spiritual realities. Throw off your old sinful nature and your former way of life, which he says is corrupted by lust and deception. Let the Spirit renew your thoughts and attitudes. Put on your new nature, created to be like God, truly righteous and holy. Stop telling lies. Let us tell our neighbors the truth, for we are all part of the same body. And don't sin by letting anger control you. Don't let the sun go down while you are still angry. It said that anger gives foothold to the devil. Please notice that that's very important, verse 27. Anger gives a foothold to the devil. He said it gives the devil an opportunity. He said if you're a thief, quit stealing. Now let me add words based on verse 27. If you're a thief, quit stealing. Because even though God has prospered you in things of the Spirit, this will, dissipate your prosperity and corrupt your destiny. Do you get my point? Yes, I'm giving foothold to the devil. He said, what do you do? To block off the access the devil has into your destiny. Use your hands for good hard work and then give generously to others in need. Verse 29, he says, don't use foul or abusive language. Because if you do, you prophesy evil and give the devil opportunity to work in your life. He says, instead, now you see, I'm qualifying this now in light of that verse 26. All right? Verse 27, sorry. He said, let everything you say be good and helpful so that you may give words, so your words will be an encouragement to those who hear you. Now, when you do that, you produce progress, peace, prosperity around you in line with the destiny that God created, in line with the spiritual realities. Do not bring sorrow to God's Holy Spirit by the way you live, which means the power of God to effect the destiny he plotted for you will be ineffective if you keep on grieving the Holy Spirit. Get rid of all bitterness, rage, anger, harsh words and slander, as well as all types of evil behavior. Why? If you don't, you give the devil a stronghold. Even though this is not the plan of God for your life, it will come to be that your destiny will not be manifested. Why? The devil has come in now to corrupt it. God planted wheat, the enemy will come and plant tares. And remember, tares will compete for nutrients to destroy part of the harvest because the harvesters will not know that which is good and which is bad. So to prevent that, constantly be kind to one another. Be tender-hearted. Forgiving one another just as God through Christ has forgiven you. If you want your marriage to last, learn how to forgive. What did I say? Actually, forget marriage for a moment. Any relationship. I've realized that, of all the things that God created, have you heard me teach this before? You must have. My wife knows the answer. What's the greatest in my assessment? God created many things, both tangible and intangible. What do you think is the greatest he created in my assessment? I said it before. Love. I've reasoned up and down. My brethren, I don't understand love. When I say I don't understand that, most is a bad thing. No? What I mean is that a man gave up himself for his friends. Why? They are his friends. They are not his children. Greater love has no man than this. There are things there. Before, a few years ago, you asked me, there are things a woman will do. If the husband says, I want to divorce this person, I will say, you are free. Some years ago. But now, I haven't discovered the meaning of the word love. I will ask you, do you find it in your heart to forgive? That's the question I'm going to ask. Because I found that in this life, if you want to live life, be happy, be prosperous, be joyful, fulfill destiny, You have to learn forgiveness. All right, we talked about love. Yes, one of the aspects of love is that forgiveness. Love is crazy. If I may use the word the Americans will use. There are times I just sit down. Okay, they are your children as an example. But you may think it's natural, but it's not. God created it. If they tell you this child is sick, you know, you will wish you could take the pain. And there's a reason why you want to take the pain. Because by that time, there will be how many people having pain? No, when you take the pain.
One.
Good. Now that it's on your child, how many people have pain?
Two.
So let's reduce the pain, suffering. Because now this child is in pain. I'm in pain. Those who know what I'm talking about, they remember. Because you're in pain. The child is in pain. You are in pain. But at least if the child is not in pain and you are in pain, everything is okay now. Only one pain in the house. One pain is better than two pain. Now, brethren, that's what's called love. See, can I just say this? Pastors, let me warn all of you. God is angry with the way you'll be teaching Christians to give because they want to collect. It's not love. They have neglected their first love. This give so you can collect is not love. God doesn't like it. So you can't give if you are not collecting back. A real believer is happy that my giving worked. I don't know whether I get my point. You see a young man, no hope, no future, nothing. They said, if you give this amount of money, he will finish secondary school, he will finish university. You don't even know him. He doesn't know you. You transfer them the money. 6 years later, they show you his passing out parade as he has finished NYC. And you look. That year I wanted to buy a car. I didn't buy it again. But look at what my carelessness has produced. You know, sometimes you just take that picture, frame it, put it in your room. You're not showing off to anybody. You just want to say, I beg. At least our life counts for something. That's love. That's love. That's a smaller side, okay? See, learn how to forgive. What did I say? Yes, learn how to forgive. I don't want to teach on that now. It takes us on a long tangent, but let me just say that. But why I say, if you're someone that's reading this, those who are arguing with you, and that's where I began from, saved or not saved, once saved, always saved. Let me just tell you, if you don't follow these things that Paul wrote, which David also wrote, we read from Psalm 24 at the beginning, who can ascend the holy hill? See, God has a destiny for each one of us. It comes in, which, you use a quota. How do I describe it now? Quantums. It comes in, it comes in portions. I like that. The extent to which it is released, fact, depends on the extent to which you allow spiritual realities become physical realities in your moral character. You know, the faith, you know, at the beginning, what I was trying to say is that people thought that faith was to say, God, in the name of Jesus, you created me for great destiny. I release great destiny. I receive it. I begin to prophesy it. People say, bro, prophet, relax. Wait. Prophesy elevate the valley. Bring down the mountain. Let the glory of the Lord find a smooth way in the wilderness. Then it will automatically come in. So prophesy the destiny. Prophesy this mouth will not lie again. Do you follow my point?
Yes,
he said, in the name of Jesus, I put on the new man, which was created after God, in righteousness and holiness of the truth. In the name of Jesus, truth is upon my lips. Even if it will kill me, I will tell the truth. I will not lie. In the name of Jesus, laziness will not be found with me. Do you get my point? You keep on declaring the practical side of redemption. But we like to, in the name of Jesus, this year, your breakthrough will come. Breakthrough said, listen. We'll be shouting amen. People say, me say if I want to come. But if you were me, will you come to you? I've been saying it again and again. The Bible says the lost portion is what? His people. The greatest thing God is doing is making you into the person he created you to be. Let me end with this statement. your destiny will not be manifested until this practical side of redemption is activated in your life. That's what we are saying. That's why I say, who can ascend the holy hill? He that has a clean hand, has clean hands, a pure heart, who has not lifted up his soul to falsehood, worshipping idols. Many of us have tried to, you know what they call syncretism, merge Christianity with idolatry. Now, our idolatry right now has a name, it's called worldliness. We measure who is successful, who is not, by how much money he has. So we come to church to teach how to make the money. We don't come to church to teach how to be faithful in the call of God. Do you follow my point? I don't care how much faith you have. It's not everybody that will be a billionaire. Not because you don't have faith, but because it's not your assignment. Do you follow? So, churches now build around, you know, this Laodicean principle. The sign of a successful church. That's why a man will say, look, I don't want to prolong that matter. That's why a man will open his mouth and say, I will never follow a poor pastor. It's syncretism, that is, idolatry, the love of the world brought into church. We love Jesus, but we still love the world. And we are asking them, you guys should try and work it out, work together. You are taking Jesus to negotiate with the world. And we've been organizing negotiations for him every day. But we don't realize he does not attend. Because if you love the world, the love of the Father is not in you. That's just a simple fact. It's non-negotiable. Does God bless people materially? Answer me, does he?
Yes.
But that is not as important as blessing you with the knowledge of himself and righteousness. So whatever you are doing, like, pursue what? Righteousness. That's what he said. Don't let the world set the yardstick. He has something for everybody to become in this life. Outwardly, you will become that thing. There are different things. But first of all, it's what you become inwardly. You understand my point? That manifests first outwardly as Nathanael. Remember Nathanael's spirit? An Israelite indeed, in whom there is no deceit, no guile. A totally transparent and honest person. Listen. God will prove you to be like that in the furnace of affliction. So this boy does not steal. He said, why will he not steal? He's prosperous. He doesn't need to steal. So I will not test him whether he steals or not when he has money. I will test whether he steals or not when he's flat broke. Let me end my message here. The word is working in your life. Amen. Say amen to that.
Amen.
But what it's producing first is what you need to understand. It's producing the Nathanael kind of believer. Because without achieving that, the real destiny will not manifest itself.